We are now on the air at Eurofolk Radio, and here we go on Talk Show.
Talk Show. Recorded live.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Eli James here. This is, of course, I'm sorry, not Voice of Christian. This is Yahweh's Covenant People. I'm jumping ahead to Sunday. Wow, what a week this has been. The Oregon standoff has turned deadly, and the feds have murdered Lavoy Finicum. Now, the question I have, what did any of these people do wrong? What crime are they accused of? What crime did they commit that would warrant a roadblock with heavily armed soldiers to stop them? What did they do wrong? What is the crime they are accused of? Folks, this is America. The police can't come after you without a warrant. There was no warrant. They're not even accused of any crime. So this is a very dangerous situation. All the gun owners in America better start getting ready to fight against the federal government, because the federal government is totally run by Jews. And these Jews want to kill us all unless they can enslave us first. So I'm going to today go into the Hillary Clinton aspect of this situation. And how in the world is Hillary Clinton involved? Well, let's listen. This is from, of course, the Alex Jones Show. It doesn't always do terrible stuff. Actually, most of the time, the Alex Jones information, in fact, if it's somebody other than Alex Jones, it's usually pretty good information. And this is a guy who's going to explain how Hillary Clinton is involved. It has to do with uranium.
Off from a different angle, renowned investigative journalist and author John Rappaport. He's the editor of NoMoreFakeNews.com.
No More Fake News.
So, John, thank you so
it.
Much for being with us today. Now, we know that there are so many issues swirling around what's going on there at the Malheur Wildlife Refuge with this standoff. Obviously, we've got the Bundys, the Hammonds, that there's the federal land grab. In this particular instance, we have cattle ranchers who have been fed up with the abuse that they feel they're suffering with the federal government. But I wanted to get you on the show to offer a different angle into not only what could be going on here and what's really behind this particular federal land grab, but others across the country as well.
Yeah, this is the uranium story, Leanne. And it sounds improbable on the surface until you start poking down into it and you see what's really going on. Because it's understood and acknowledged, it has been for some time, even in the mainstream press, that the Russians, by whom I mean Putin, have gained control over 20% of U.S. uranium production. The New York Times ran a pretty big story on this a while ago, and it surfaced and then it sank as usual without any real further investigation. But to dig into this, what we're talking about here is a company called Uranium One, which was a Canadian company. And during the time when this sale was being negotiated to Putin and Russia, this company, Uranium One, had outposts in the U.S. in uranium mines. So they were essentially bargaining to sell their company to the Russians so the Russians could, in part, control U.S. uranium production.
Why would the Russians want to control our uranium?
In order for that deal to be signed off on, one of the federal agencies of the United States that had to okay it, because this is national security, is the State Department, then headed up by Hillary Clinton. Step two is, during this negotiation, this period of time, some millions of dollars were coming into the Clinton Foundation from Canadian mining big shots, who obviously wanted this deal to go through and sell their company to Putin. Wait a minute, let's back off. Holy mackerel here. So the New York Times covered all of these angles.
He got louder as I was boosting.
You know, they wouldn't step up to the plate and actually connect all the dots and say, you know, we're looking here at mass deep criminality on the part of the Clintons, and, you know, much more deep investigation.
Oh, surprise.
Courtroom evidence needs to take place. They just kind of dropped it. But as it turns out, in an article in IntelliHub by Shepard and Bellis, he links to a page, a federal page, Bureau of Land Management, that indicates that in 2011, this same company, Uranium One, met with local officials and people in southern Oregon in the same general, or maybe even exactly specific, it's hard to tell, but definitely in the same general area as the Oregon.
I don't know who this guy's name, I'd have to back it up, but he's got a website called No More Fake News. It's not Stu Webb. Let's continue. Anyway, he's implicating the Clintons, and they want to take the land away from the ranchers so they can extract uranium and other ores, which, of course, they want to sell internationally. And somehow Hillary Clinton has got either a legal or, you know, she's somehow involved and will profit from it. Let's continue.
Standoff took place, and they were discussing mining, opening a yellow cake uranium mining operation in that very area where the standoff has been taking place. So all of a sudden, this is a whole different dimension on the story. And you've got a much more sinister reason for the feds to be extremely concerned about what was going on and is going on.
Yeah, Hillary Clinton might yell at him.
Because it would not only be about all the factors you mentioned at the top here, but about uranium mining in the U.S., controlled by Russia, with the Clintons involved.
Wow, that is bombshell. And so obviously a lot of the things that we're hearing people saying is, well, that's our land and how dare they, you know, that land belongs to the American people. But here we have the BLM taking grazing rights and having to pay off the BLM. But actually now this company working with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, they made a presentation to the BLM outlining plans for the development of this mine. And so it says here, the Vail District has agreed to work with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife on mitigation for the New U uranium claims.
Mitigation, in other words, theft. When the government mitigates, it steals from us.
Which are located in core sage-grouse habitat, on and on. So what are they doing, negotiating on behalf of the American people to develop a uranium mine with the Russians?
That belongs to Russia, right? So the ultimate irony of this whole thing is that you've got these sovereign cattle ranchers and their supporters sitting there in this area saying the feds have no right to be grabbing this land in the first place. And, you know.
Okay, let me read the headline here. Clinton Foundation took massive payoffs, promised Hammond Ranch and other publicly owned lands to Russians, along with one-fifth of our uranium ore. Now, how can the Clintons make such a promise to Russia? And why is Russia involved at all? Hopefully they'll explain this. Let's continue.
Now, it's taking land away from the American people that belongs to the American people, and they could very well be talking about Russian land, you know, Russian land under this uranium contract. So who knows what the projection is going to be now that there's been this tremendous.
Okay. Now, remember about 5 or 6 years ago on one of our shows, I predicted that there would be a massive sell-off of American real estate to China. I didn't suspect that Russia would be doing that too, but obviously the banksters have put America in such a great amount of debt that, and there's really nothing left for America to give besides our blood, that they're taking our lands away. I told you that there would be a massive real estate sell-off, and I suspected mainly the Chinese, and that is going on as we speak, but I never suspected that Russia might be doing this as well. And I thought Putin was a good guy.
In this
we'll
area
see.
Of southern Oregon, which is another reason why the feds would be so exercised about.
Pastor Dan says the guy's name is John Rappaport. Thank you.
Just because the last thing they want is national attention drawn to this area for any reason. Because if this uranium mine...
Well, murdering LaVoie Finicum sure drew attention. They messed up big time.
Mining operation goes forward, and everybody learns, of course, that the production is going to be, you know, the uranium is under the control of the Russians. Now you've got things blowing up everywhere.
Absolutely. And this was another issue when the Bundys were having to deal with that there in Nevada with Harry Reid. Then we learned that there was actually a solar farm being that was owned by the Chinese that was being erected on all of these lands that were supposedly being...
Okay, there you go. That's coming to, that's what I predicted would happen, land being sold to the Chinese. And that I understand perfectly well because China holds so much of our debt. And, you know, the balance of payments, they've been having to accept Federal Reserve notes, which are basically worthless. And, you know, so now they want America to, you know, give them something of value. And as I predicted, it's real estate. And so what's going on in Nevada involves China. But they're saying that what's going on in Oregon involves Russia. I surely hope they explain this thoroughly.
Being cleared out to protect the desert tortoise. And so it's actually these solar farms controlled by the Chinese who are giving energy to the people there in Nevada and other states. So I don't think we, the people, are going to be getting a cut out of that and making our energy bills any lower. So how do they justify this? And of course, this gives a little bit of background when Hillary Clinton was asked about her relationship with Putin, and she just kind of laughed it off, saying it was interesting.
Uh-oh. Is Hillary having an affair with Putin? Hey, this is going to make great soap opera stuff.
Interesting relationship.
Yeah, I would say.
Indeed.
More than interesting, as it turns out.
More than interesting.
Well, you know, this is a naked situation here, potentially, for the feds, because there is no explanation. I mean, how do you justify, okay, we're going to sell 20% of U.S. uranium production to Russia? That makes sense to everybody, right? No problem.
Oh, sure.
I mean, as soon as the words are out of your mouth, people are just staggered. What are you talking about? You know, why not just deed him 20% of all nuclear power plants in the U.S. or 20% of all nuclear weapons?
Well, okay, I don't like the way Rappaport is, you know, phrasing this. It's not Putin. It's obviously the Russian government. And don't blame Putin. If America owes Russia in any balance of trades, you know, deal or any debt, then I can understand this. But the problem is, why aren't we being told by our government and by, well, the Jew government and the Jew media? Why isn't the Jew government and the Jew media telling us anything about this? Well, it's because they're stealing the land from its rightful owners. That land does not belong to the federal government. It belongs to these ranchers. And that's why the mass media, the kosher press, is being silent about all of this. Let's continue.
I mean, it's that kind of staggering story. And it was out there, and then it just disappeared, in part probably because Hillary Clinton is running for president.
Absolutely.
And the last thing that...
Okay, I understand the New York Times did an extensive article on this. I'll see if I can find that and, you know, read some of that while we're listening to this.
She wants is more publicity about this. Hey, your state
the last
department,
thing she wants.
Hillary,
yeah,
was one of the nine federal agencies that had to okay this deal to sell this uranium company to Russia. And money was pouring in. And by the way, the money that poured into the Clinton Foundation from Canadian mining executives during this...
Okay, now this is corruption. The Clinton Foundation is getting money because Russia is buying uranium in Oregon. How in the world does the Clinton Foundation get paid for uranium in Oregon? I sure hope he explains the money trail here.
That I mentioned, this fact was covered up by the Clinton Foundation. You didn't see on their books that these donations were coming in. And she had supposedly made a deal with Obama saying, look, you know, we'll mind our P's and Q's on the Clinton Foundation while I'm Secretary of State. You won't have anything to worry about vis-a-vis conflict of interest. And of course, this was all before the whole Clinton Foundation story blew up in the press. But now we've got something much deeper that has to do with the Clinton Foundation. They hid those donations from the Canadian mining people. I mean, that's what more do you want here?
Okay, now, so we got Canadian, that's obviously an international corporation, Canadian Mining, whatever their name is. And so I guess it's campaign donations, conflict of interest, because this Canadian mining organization is getting profits from selling uranium. And then this Canadian company is turning around and giving, you know, campaign donations to Hillary Clinton. I think that's what he's saying. He's not really, he's not putting the P's in, he's not dotting the I's and crossing the T's exactly. Only a few minutes left of this. I hope he gets more specific.
Right. I mean, the scandal, it just is never-ending scandal, and the plot thickens there with the Clintons, the Clinton Foundation. John Rappaport, no more fake news. Thank you so much, and obviously we will stay tuned with more of your bombshell reporting. Thank you.
Thank you, Leanne. Appreciate it.
All right, let's see what else they have to say about this after their bumper music. I guess that's it. That's just kind of a teaser, folks. Wasn't as revealing as I was hoping it would be. Let me see if I can find the New York Times article on this subject. Okay, here's another one. In the news, Oregon shootout. Okay, let me go to this one. The Clintons. Is the Oregon standoff really about uranium? Now, this is from his website, John Rappaport's blog. So maybe he writes better than he speaks. Okay, this is January 27th, 2016. Just a couple of days ago. Okay, and it says, note this article was written before the Oregon shootout, in which one man was killed and another wounded. So let's see what he has to say here about this Oregon, you know, what's really going on. Is it about uranium? Is it about gold, silver, and other precious metals that are abundant in Oregon? There's also water. And down in Nevada, the state of Nevada has been, and BLM has been, harassing ranchers and farmers. So, because the city of Las Vegas wants the water that is on the land that these ranchers own. That's why BLM is targeting ranchers and farmers in Nevada. Now, it looks like here at Oregon, it's uranium. Is the state of Oregon named after uranium? Maybe it's Uragon? Okay, he says, is uranium at the heart of the Oregon-Malheur federal protester standoff? That's the question I'm asking. It isn't a flippant question. I realize there are many other issues swirling around this event. The Hammonds, the Bundys, militias, the feds, cattle grazing on federal lands. No, it's not federal lands. The feds don't own those lands. It's state land and or private land. Federal land grabs, yeah, federal land grabs for sure, and so on. This article isn't meant to take apart those matters. It's meant to follow up on my previous article in which I present a circumstantial case for the Clintons' heavy involvement in a scheme that's transferred 20% of U.S. uranium production to Putin and Russia. And the key company in that piece is Uranium One. Okay, so there's a company called Uranium One. Remember that name. It's apparently a major clue in what I'm about to discuss. I also want to say at the outset that I don't know how many independent news outlets and websites are covering the uranium question. Well, very few. Okay? No doubt about that. And, of course, the problem with the mainstream media is you're not going to get any truth at all. They're covering, you know, the headlines in the mainstream media, that is the kosher press, the Jewish press, is that Mr. Finicum, and the group there was a shootout. There was no shootout. This was an assassination. Only one side was firing shots. A shootout is when two sides are shooting at each other. This is how the mainstream media fools the public, suggesting incorrectly, deceptively, that somehow the people who actually were being victimized were somehow shooting back. And they were not. They were absolutely not shooting back. And I still have to ask the question, what the hell crime did they commit by driving up the highway in Oregon that warranted a road blockade with all kinds of federales and local police and state police and federal army, all these people? What the hell did they do wrong? What crime did they commit? What law did they violate? That's what I want to know. What law did Mr. Finicum violate? Has the mainstream prostitution institution even asked this question? What law did they break? Folks, they did not break any law. This is a cold-blooded ambush by the feds, the Jew-controlled feds. All right, let's continue. Let's see what he has to say about Hillary Clinton. How in the world is she getting campaign contributions from Uranium One, who is apparently they're already extracting uranium from Oregon? They got some kind of, you know, the same thing was going on in Nevada with Harry Reid's son buying up land, as they said in the video, for China, so the Chinese could put up wind turbines and sell electricity to Las Vegas. So, folks, this is an international story. There's no doubt the UN, the Jew-N, that is, and the Rothschilds are totally mixed up in this. There's no doubt about this. Folks, there's way more to this than meets the eye. And, of course, you're not going to get the facts from the Jew press. Anyway, he continues. I also want to say at the outset that I don't know how many independent news outlets and websites are covering the uranium question. None. That's the answer. Or which outlet initiated this line of investigation? My understanding is that actually the New York Times. Yeah, okay, Troublemaker says. Clinton got a $500,000 speaking fee in June 2010 per the New York Times article. And I'll see if I can find it. Maybe somebody can put the link to that article in the chat room while I'm reading this, because I understand that New York Times article was very detailed, and it slipped through the cracks. So ordinarily, the New York Times, the New York Wines, the Jewish Wines, don't print anything of value, right? So they apparently, they messed up, and they actually printed a decent article. So anyway, he's asking this question. Well, what people in the mainstream media are going to tell anything about this story? And my answer is, of course, none. But he says, I'm relying on one provocative January 23 article at IntelliHub by Shepard Ambellis. Clinton Foundation took massive payoffs, promised Hammond Ranch and other publicly owned lands to the Russians, along with one-fifth of our uranium ore. Okay, so the source is Shepard Ambellis, A-M-B-E-L-L-A-S. Down in the body of that article, the author provides a link to a page at the U.S. Bureau of Land Management, BLM, which is a federal agency under the Department of the Interior. On that BLM page, National BLM, forward arrow, OR/WA, meaning Oregon and Washington, of course, forward slash, it's not a slash, I forget what a caret, of right caret, energy, right caret, uranium energy, in a section titled Uranium on BLM Administered Lands in Oregon and Washington. In September 2011, okay, thanks, Troublemaker. I'll read a little bit more of this, and I'll switch to the New York Times article. In September 2011, a representative from Oregon Energy, LLC, and that means Limited Liability Corporation, and from what he said on the video, it's a Canadian corporation. Now, he says formerly Uranium One. So which is it? On the video, he said their name is Uranium One. Okay, well, whatever it is, it's either Uranium One or Oregon Energy LLC, Canadian corporation, met with local citizens and county and state officials to discuss the possibility of opening a uranium oxide, that is, yellow cake mine, in southern Malheur County in southeastern Oregon. Oregon Energy is interested in developing a 17-claim parcel of land known as the Aurora Project through an open-pit mining method. Besides the mine, there would be a mill for processing. The claim area occupies about 450 acres and is also referred to as the New U Uranium Claims. On May 7, 2012, Oregon Energy LLC made a presentation to the BLM outlining its plans for development for the mine. Now, the question is, whose land is all of this uranium in, or on, or under? The Vail District has agreed to work with Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife on mitigation for the New Uranium Claims, which are located in core sage-grouse habitat. Now, of course, when it comes to wildlife, the internationalists cry crocodile tears over, you know, the destruction of habitat. But they're the most guilty parties, the so-called green parties, in collusion with the lawyers that make big bucks in stealing land away from private ranchers and farmers. They don't take care of these animals. All they're doing is helping these international corporations to make profits, while at the same time they publicly proclaim how concerned they are for habitat. Folks, this is hypocrisy. It's a hypocrisy up the yin-yang. Although the lands encompassing the claims have been designated core, whatever that means, the area is frequented by rock hounds and hunters and has a crisscrossing off-highway vehicle roads and other significant land disturbance from the defunct Brett's Mercury Mine, abandoned in the 1960s. However, by the fall of 2012, the company said that it was putting its plans for the mine on hold until the uncertainty surrounding the sage-grouse issues was resolved. In other words, the green lawyers would have to back off and allow these international corporate types to buy the land. But see, they have to steal the land from the farmers and ranchers first, or get them to sell, which as long as there's one rancher who has a significant acreage refuses to sell, then these lawyers have a problem. That's why they're using the Bureau of Land Management to file nuisance suits against them or to take illegal actions against them, like flooding their lands or setting their land on fire, and then blaming the rancher for the fire that the Bureau of Land Management set. This is what's going on, folks. This is what's going on. This is your tax dollars at work. Rappaport says, the first sentence in that BLM section ties together several key elements of the story. Uranium One, a uranium mine, Southern Malheur County. Southern Malheur is the general area of the federal protester standoff. Let me give you that first sentence again. In September 2011, a representative from Oregon Energy LLC, formerly Uranium One, met with local citizens and county and state officials to discuss the possibility of opening uranium oxide mine in Southern Malheur County, blah, blah, blah. What does this have to do with Hillary and Bill Clinton? All right, this is the question I've been asking. Let's get some specific. I hope this article gets more specific than the interview. I'll reprint my previous article so you can read the details. But the short version is, there's a case to be made that they, through Uranium One and the Clinton Foundation, facilitated the sale of Uranium One to Putin and the Russians. And if so, and if this area of Oregon is projected to be part of that uranium mining deal, then we are looking at a stunning coincidence. The U.S. federal government is coming down hard on a group of protesters who are occupying, for their own reasons, a very valuable piece of territory that goes far beyond the issue of private cattle grazing on government land. It's government land, yes, but it's not federal land. It's state land. The federal government, by the Constitution, cannot own any land outside of Washington, D.C. This is the real crux of the issue. Okay, let me click on the New York Times issue story. And it says this, cash flowed to Clinton Foundation amid Russian uranium deal. Now let's see if... I'd be amazed that the New York Times actually spilled the beans on Hillary Clinton, but let's see. The headline on the website of Pravda trumpeted President Vladimir V. Putin's latest coup, its nationalistic fervor recalling an era when its precursor served as the official mouthpiece of the Kremlin, Russian nuclear energy conquers the world. Okay, I can smell the tone of this New York Times article already. It sounds like a hit piece against Putin. Maybe the purpose is to impugn Putin, but in doing so, they also impugn Hillary. So let's read on. The article in January 2013 detailed how the Russian Atomic Energy Agency, Rosatom, had taken over a Canadian company with uranium mining stakes stretching from Central Asia to the American West. The deal made Rosatom one of the world's largest uranium producers and brought Mr. Putin closer to his goal of controlling much of the global uranium supply chain. Now, Mr. Putin may have ideas of his own. Maybe he wants to bomb the hell out of Israel, although I doubt it. I really doubt that. You know, that would be a good thing, but I really doubt that. But the untold story behind that story is one that involves not just the Russian president, but also a former American president and a woman who would like to be the next one. At the heart of the tale are several men, leaders of the Canadian mining industry, who have been major donors to the charitable endeavors of former President Bill Clinton and his family. Members of that group built, financed, and eventually sold off to the Russians a company that would become known as Uranium One. Okay, now we're getting a little more specific. And here the article includes a photograph of Bill Clinton standing next to Frank Giustra. That's J... No, I'm sorry, not J-E-W. Giustra. That's G... I-U-S-T-R-A, Giustra, but it's obviously pronounced J-E-W, Giustra, a mining financier, has donated $31.3 million to the foundation run by former President Bill Clinton. Oh, but man, I bet Hillary wants to get her hands on that cash. That's a lot of cash, folks. $31.3 million. Why can't I get donations like that? The article continues. Beyond mines in Kazakhstan that are among the most lucrative in the world, the sale gave the Russians control of 1/5 of all uranium production capacity in the United States. Since uranium is considered a strategic asset, no doubt, with implications for national security, no doubt, the deal had to be approved by a committee composed of representatives from a number of United States government agencies. Wait a minute. What about Congress? Why haven't the people been told about this? Why are all the other newspapers and radio and TV stations remiss in not reporting this story? And I still have to ask, how did this story manage to get published by the New York Times? It had to be a slip-up, folks. It had to be a rogue writer and the editor had too many drinks the night before. But here, this is what it says, folks. $31.3 million to the Bill Clinton Foundation. Amazing. This is absolutely amazing. And then definitely has implications for national security. But, and there's all kinds of United States government agencies involved. But the U.S. Congress should be involved. And apparently these agencies, these unconstitutional alphabet soup agencies that have been given authority, unconstitutional authority, to steal the land from the ranchers and actually to kill Americans, and such as the Food and Drug Administration seizing the assets, the stores and computers of alternative health practitioners. This has been going on for about 30, 40 years. These government agencies, these totally unconstitutional government agencies, most of them created by federal dictator Rosenfeld, have been dictating. In other words, the servant has become the master, the usurper has become the lord and slave master over the American people, and of course over our Congress as well. Now, certainly members of Congress would be aware of this. Why aren't they raising a stink? Well, because they're getting paid off by the ADL. Let's continue. Among the agencies that eventually signed off was the State Department, another illegal agency. There was no State Department. Well, actually, I'm sorry. Let me back up here. The State Department actually goes back to the beginning, Department of State. These other agencies, such as Department of Education, Bureau, Land Management, all of these are very recent. And the State Department had to be part of the federal government, and the Constitution only allows for certain agencies. The addition of all the agencies by federal dictator Roosevelt is all unconstitutional. All of that's unconstitutional. And you should be aware of that. This is all illegal, and it's all part of the Jewish stranglehold that they have over America. Let's continue. So he says the State Department, then headed by Mr. Clinton's wife, Hillary Rodham Clinton. So, in addition to the other scandals that Mrs. Clinton is under, namely the Benghazi four soldiers that she allowed to die, she's a murderer, folks. And this goes back, of course, to the days when Bill and Hillary were running Arkansas, and the MENA Arkansas drug scandal, in which dozens of people were murdered before they were able to go to trial to testify against the Clintons. Let's continue with this story. As the Russians gradually assumed control of Uranium 1 in three separate transactions from 2009 to 2013, Canadian records show a flow of cash made its way to the Clinton Foundation. Uranium 1's chairman used his family foundation to make four donations totaling $2.35 million. Those contributions were not publicly disclosed by the Clintons, despite an agreement Mrs. Clinton had struck with the Obama White House to publicly identify all donors. Well, so what else is new? You know, if Hillary Clinton makes a deal with Obama, do you think that deal is worth anything? Do you think that deal is meaningful? You know, you're talking one traitor versus another. They're not going to reveal anything to the American people. Both the Clintons and the Obamas are transparent as mud. Other people with ties to the company made donations as well. And shortly after the Russians announced their intention to acquire a majority stake in Uranium One, Mr. Clinton received $500,000 for a Moscow speech from a Russian investment bank with links to the Kremlin that was promoting Uranium One stock. Okay, so here we go. This is much more specific. Stock in Uranium One and the land in Oregon is being sold in Russia. At the time, both Rosatom and the United States government made promises intended to ease concerns about ceding control of the company's assets to the Russians. Those promises have been repeatedly broken, records show, and obviously the American people know nothing about this. The New York Times examination of the Uranium One deal is based on dozens of interviews as well as a review of public records and securities filings in Canada, Russia, and the United States. Some of the connections between Uranium One and the Clinton Foundation were unearthed by Peter Schweitzer, former fellow at the right-leaning Hoover Institution and author of the forthcoming book Clinton Cash. Mr. Schweitzer provided a preview of material in the book to the Times, which scrutinizes information and built upon it with its own reporting. Whether the donations played any role in the approval of the uranium deal is unknown, but the episode underscores the special ethical challenges presented by the Clinton Foundation, not to mention the Clintons themselves, headed by a former president who relied heavily on foreign cash to accumulate $250 million in assets, even as his wife helped steer American foreign policy as Secretary of State, presiding over decisions with the potential to benefit the foundation's donors. Oh, folks. Clinton, Hillary wouldn't do anything like that, would she? There wouldn't be any conflict of interest between her job as Secretary of State and getting donations from people in Canada and Russia. No, she would never do anything like that. So, $250 million is being supplied. And now, Bill and Hillary... Now, remember what Bill Clinton did while he was president. And not just Bill, it was the Democratic National Committee. They sold trade secrets of American corporations and U.S. military secrets to the Red Chinese. The Democratic National Committee sold trade secrets and military secrets to the Red Chinese in return for cash. In other words, this was a campaign donation coming directly from China. Wow, man, the money just is flowing. Continuing with this New York Times article. In a statement, Brian Fallon, a spokesman for Mrs. Clinton's presidential campaign, said no one has ever produced a shred of evidence supporting the theory that Hillary Clinton ever took action as Secretary of State to support the interests of donors to the Clinton Foundation. He emphasized that multiple United States agencies as well as the Canadian government had signed off on the deal and that, in general, such matters were handled at a level below the Secretary. Well, yeah. But Congress didn't approve any of this. Quote, to suggest the State Department under then-Secretary Clinton exerted undue influence in the U.S. government's review of the sale of Uranium One is utterly baseless, he added. Of course, he's the spokesman for Hillary Clinton. American political campaigns are barred from accepting foreign donations. But they accept foreign donations from Jews all the time. but foreigners may give to foundations in the United States. Okay? Not to candidates, but to foundations. In the days since Mrs. Clinton announced her candidacy for president, the Clinton Foundation has announced changes meant to quell long-standing concerns about potential conflicts of interest in such donations. It has limited donations from foreign governments, with many, like Russia's, barred from giving to all but its healthcare initiatives. Okay. Okay, well, that's good, right? Socialized medicine is good, so therefore, you know, we'll take that kind of money. That policy stops short of a more stringent agreement between Mrs. Clinton and the Obama administration that was in effect while she was Secretary of State. As I said, any agreement with Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama is worthless. It's two thieves conspiring with one another against the people. So if Hillary Clinton promises not to, lean on the Russians for campaign donations, Barack Obama is going to care. Either way, the Uranium One deal highlights the limits of such prohibitions. The foundation will continue to accept contributions from foreign sources whose interests, like Uranium One's, may overlap with those of foreign governments, some of which may be at odds with the United States. Wow, this article sounds like it was like written by a right-winger. Can't believe this is in the New York Times. When the Uranium One deal was approved, the geopolitical backdrop was far different from today's. The Obama administration was seeking to reset strained relations with Russia. The deal was strategically important to Putin, who shortly after the Americans gave their blessing, sat down for a staged interview with Rosatom's chief executive, Sergei Kirienko. Quote, "Few could have imagined in the past that we would own 20% of U.S. reserves," unquote. Mr. Kirienko told Mr. Putin, "Yeah, I can't imagine that either. But I guess it's a done deal." Now, after Russia's annexation of Crimea and aggression in No. It wasn't Russian aggression in Ukraine. Again, I was right at the top of the article. I smelled that this was really a hit piece against Russia. But, if another country wants to buy U.S. uranium from Hillary Clinton, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? I mean, who's the real criminal here? It's obviously Hillary. The Moscow-Washington relationship is devolving toward Cold War levels, a point several experts made in evaluating a deal so beneficial to Mr. Putin, a man known to use energy resources to project power around the world. Well, obviously, the Russian economy has to be maintained. And if Hillary Clinton is stupid enough to sell, how the hell does she, I shouldn't say sell because she's not the one doing the selling. It was Uranium One. But after approving, obviously Uranium One cleared the deal with the undersecretary under Hillary Clinton, who approved the deal. And of course, Russia benefited. Quote, "Should we be concerned? Absolutely," said Michael McFaul, who served under Mrs. Clinton as the American ambassador to Russia, but said he had been unaware of the Uranium One deal until asked about it. Okay. So the undersecretary doesn't know anything about it. Well, if it wasn't Hillary that was agitating for this, who was? Quote, "Do we want Putin to have a monopoly on this? Of course we don't. We don't want to be dependent upon Putin for anything in this climate." Well, climate what? Political climate or world climate? All right. A seat at the table. The path to a Russian acquisition of American uranium deposits began in 2005 in Kazakhstan, where the Canadian mining financier Frank Giustra orchestrated his first big uranium deal with Mr. Clinton at his side. The two men had flown aboard Mr. Giustra's private jet to Almaty, Kazakhstan, where they dined with the authoritarian president Nursultan A. Nazarbayev. Mr. Clinton handed the Kazakh president a propaganda coup when he expressed support for Mr. Nazarbayev's bid to head the International Elections Monitoring Group, undercutting American foreign policy and criticism of Kazakhstan's poor human rights record by, among others, his wife and then a senator. Within days of the visit, Mr. Juster's fledgling company, Eurasia Energy Limited, signed a preliminary deal giving its stakes in three uranium mines controlled by the state-run uranium agency, Kazatomprom. If the Kazakh deal was a major victory, Eurasia did not wait long before resuming the hunt. In 2007, it merged with Uranium One, now we're back in Canada, a South African company with assets in Africa and Australia. Now, this is an international corporation. So if it's an international corporation, I think we're talking about Jews. In what was described as a $3.5 billion transaction, the new company, which kept the Uranium One name, was controlled by Eurasia investors, including Ian Telfer, a Canadian who became chairman. I suspect that he's a Canadian Jew. Through a spokeswoman, Mr. Justra, whose personal stake in the deal was estimated at about $45 million, said he sold his stake in 2007. Boy, the money really flows when the Clintons are around, doesn't it? And it's never good for America. Never. Absolutely never. Okay, soon Uranium One began to snap up companies with assets in the United States. In April 2007, it announced the purchase of a uranium mill in Utah, and more than 38,000 acres of uranium exploration properties in four western states, followed quickly by the acquisition of the Energy Metals Corporation and its uranium holdings in Wyoming, Texas, and Utah. Okay, I told you that there's going to be a bargain basement sale of land in America because of the trade imbalance. And the crash in 2008 had a lot to do with that, too. The deal made clear that Uranium One was intent on becoming a powerhouse in the United States uranium sector with the potential to become the domestic supplier of choice for U.S. utilities, the company declared. Now, here we see, of course, whenever there are contracts, government contracts to be doled out, the U.S. government, much of which is controlled by Jews, we find that Jewish-owned corporations are the first ones with their hands out and the first ones offering bribes to government officials to get these contracts. Continuing with the story, still, the company's story was hardly front-page news in the United States. Indeed, it wasn't. Was this front page on the New York Times, or was it on page 96? Until early 2008, in the midst of Mrs. Clinton's failed presidential campaign, when the Times published an article revealing the 2005 trips linked to Mr. Justra's Kazakhstan mining deal. It also reported that several months later, Mr. Justra had donated $31.3 million to Mr. Clinton's foundation. That's a lot of money, folks. $31.3 million. In a statement issued after this article appeared online, Mr. Justra said he was extremely proud of his charitable work with Mr. Clinton. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, this is not a bribe. It's charity. And he urged the media, or a payback, right? Shinola. What did they used to call it? Payola. I'm sorry. That's an older term. That goes back to the 50s. Payola. And he urged the media to focus on poverty, health care, and the real challenges of the world. Don't bother with bribery and payola. Don't focus on that, dear media. Just focus on charity. We're all doing this for charity, not for total control and profit. No. That's not, you know, don't focus on that in your newspaper stories. Through the 2008 article quoted the former head of Kazatomprom, Mukhtar Jakishev, as saying that the deal required government approval and was discussed at dinner with the president, Mr. Giustra. Mr. Giustra insisted that it was a private transaction with no need for Mr. Clinton's influence with Kazakh officials. He described his relationship with Mr. Clinton as motivated solely by shared interest in philanthropy. Oh, yeah, with billions of dollars at stake. The $31.3 million he gave to Mr. Clinton's foundation was nothing but philanthropy. Hold on, I have to wet my whistle, sorry. This article is making me laugh. As if to underscore the point, 5 months later, Mr. Giustra held a fundraiser for the Clinton-Giustra Sustainable Growth Initiative. We could do without these initiatives. A project aimed at fostering progressive environmental and labor practices in the natural resources industry. In other words, stealing land away from farmers. To which he had pledged $100 million. The star-studded gala at a conference centered in Toronto. You know, you have to really appreciate these Jews, folks. Their ability to deceive people with fancy sounding words to cover up their criminality. It just knows no bounds. I bet they dream these false pretexts, and they're always claiming to be philanthropists when what they're really doing is bribing government officials. It's just they're doing it in a backwards way, okay? The bribe doesn't occur before Hillary Clinton gives them the contract. The bribe occurs after the contract was given in a backdoor deal, maybe a couple years later, so there's less connection between the two. This is total corruption by the Clintons, folks. Total corruption. And can you imagine what's going to happen to this country if Hillary Clinton gets elected? This murderer? This totally corrupt communist? Saul Alinsky protege? That's, of course, so is Barack Obama. Both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton are Saul Alinsky proteges. Rules for radicals? Total Jew communist. This is where we're heading, folks. So, again, I'm amazed that the New York Times has actually published this story. It needs to get out, the connection between Hillary Clinton and what's going on in Oregon. She may have ordered the hit on Mr. Finicum. She may have ordered a hit on Mr. Finicum. I wouldn't put it past her. They've executed many people in the past, people who were going to testify against them in the Mena, Arkansas drug scandal. Can you imagine? We've had one murderer after another in the White House. Lyndon Baines Johnson was a murderer. He had, well, first of all, he had the crewman of the USS Liberty executed by the Israelis. And Lyndon Baines Johnson had his own personal executioner that would bump off his political enemies while he was a politician in Texas. This is what's happening, folks. I hate to give you the bad news, but our country is totally corrupted by Jews and their shills. I wish it weren't true, but it is. It's time for us to take our country back and start prosecuting these criminals. And, sooner or later, there's going to be a war between patriots and the federal government. Second American Revolution is going to start real soon. In fact, it already started with the execution of Lavoie Finicum. Get ready. Be prepared to defend yourself against the jackbooted thugs of the Clinton and the Obama administration. We're out of time. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition. See you next time. Good day.
Call recording has been completed.